Hey man, it's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting for the month of July. And it's just a privilege and an honor just to go ahead and share some things that the Lord has put on my heart. Wilderness Truth for Modern Times, number 66. And that's interesting to know because that means 66 months I've been sharing this Wilderness Truth for Modern Times. And you can do the math and figure that out, but it's just been a wonderful time. We are now in the wilderness of Zin, Z-I-N, not Zen, and that is a place where God can do a refresher course in us. And so before I get into what I would have for tonight, let's go ahead and point our spirit back to last month and get us rolling so we can just go ahead and just move right into what the Lord would have us for this month. If we remember last month, it was die or die. You know, that was the topic, die or die. And so this month, the Wilderness Truth of Modern Times will be belief is correct. Belief is correct. But before we get into that, a couple points that I would like to look at. And the first point is the Wilderness of Zin is a place for a refresher course. The Wilderness of Zin is a place for a refresher course. In our life, God will give us refresher courses. He will bring us back. He will bring us ultimately to the same place that He brought us before to give us another chance to learn those lessons. And that's what God did in the wilderness of Zin to the children of Israel. They brought them to the wilderness of Zin, and they were teaching, and God was teaching them some things that they did not learn in the previous wildernesses. And God is very faithful at doing that. So the wilderness of Zin is a place for a refresher course. Another point that we looked at is the place of greater victory can also be a place of great defeat in God. Let me say that again. The place of a great victory in God can also be a place of great defeat if we fail to learn the lessons of God. As we saw last month, the children of Israel did not learn the lessons. So God brought them into the wilderness of Zin. The wilderness of Zin was a place for great victory for the children of Israel. But as we go on, we will see that it became a great place of defeat because they never learned the lessons in the wilderness of Zin or any of the other wildernesses that God took them through. Amen? So just a couple more points that we looked at. Last month was a very, very important one. Amen. Number four is our testing God is given again and again until we either learn the lesson or we walk away from God. God loves us so much He will give us the test again and again and again, no matter what the test is. And He will give that again and again and again until either we learn the lesson or we walk away from God. In God we are approved. We qualify for everything we get in God. And for us to qualify and to be approved for the next thing that God has for us, there's a lesson involved. And we learn that lesson. And if we don't learn that lesson, then we just keep coming back around the mountain, as they say. Or until we walk away from God. And yes, we can walk away from God. I have known many Christians that have walked with the Lord, that have touched the things of the Lord. And today, they no longer walk with the Lord. They're in evil, but as long as there's air in your lungs, there's hope. Point number five we looked at last month is the same test is given word upon word, question upon question. God doesn't vary the test. He doesn't add this little wrinkle there or this little wrinkle there. God does not try to trick us because God does not set us up for failure. The same test that God brings us to will be the same test, and He will do it in the same way. He doesn't try to shade it and do this or that, you know, confuse us. That's not what God is doing. God is trying to teach us, and it will be the same test, word for word and question upon question. Test after test, God will bring us to the place where He has an opportunity to work life and victory in us. That is God's goal. He brings us in testing to a place where He can work life and victory. No defeat. There's no defeat in God. God's goal is for us to learn the lesson so that we can come to a place of life and victory in Him. And the last point, number eight, it is not a question of God's ability or power, but whether or not we are willing to submit or surrender to God's will. It's never a question about God's ability. It's never a question, can God do it, or any of that foolishness. It's always a question, do we have a heart to follow after Him? Do we have a desire, a hunger, a thirst in us to submit and surrender to what God wants in our life? Because our Christian walk will only go as far as our surrender and our commitment to Him. It's never a question about God. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do all of these things. The question is, do we have enough love for God to do the things that we need to do? Amen. So that was 8 points that we looked at last month. And now that should get us moving into Wilderness Truth for Modern Times, number 66. If you have your Bibles, you know, or if you have your notes here, just go ahead and look at the verse that we're going to go ahead and launch out from. And that will be from Numbers 24 and 5. And it should be right there on our teaching notes right there. So Numbers 24 and 5 says, "And why have you brought us up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink." Now that sounds very, very much like when they were at Mara. There was no water. The water was okay to drink, but it was bitter, and they didn't want it. And so this is the same, you know, this is the same test that God is bringing them. They brought them to Mara, and then they failed the test there. Now in the wilderness of Zin, God is bringing them back for the same, very, very same test. Amen? How many times of being hungry and thirsty? 2 years go by after leaving Egypt, almost to the day. So now, you know, we've been doing this for 66 months, but we find out that the children of Israel have been gone from Goshen around 2 years. They would they walked through 6 or 7 wildernesses for 2 years, go by after leaving Egypt, almost to the day. And now they're in the wilderness of Zin, under the same situation that they have experienced upon a number of other occasions. So this isn't the first time that they're in a bad situation. They don't have any food, they don't have any water. And the reaction was not to say, "Let's be the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away." But their reaction was, "Oh my gosh, you have brought us up here, out of Egypt. This is an evil place. There's no place for seed, no figs, no pomegranates, no vines. Neither is there any water to drink." There was no gratitude in their heart. I will tell you, if you cannot walk with the Lord in tough times in a spirit of gratitude, God cannot use you. He will cast you aside. He will put you on the shelf for a while until you can develop a little bit of gratitude. Gratitude is very, very important in a maturing Christian's life. God is faithful to test us. Let me say that again. God is faithful to test us. He's testing us not to see if we're going to fail, that's not it, or even if we're going to be successful. That's His intention. He wants us to be, you know, He wants us to, you know, succeed. But God is faithful to test us so that we can approve, so that we can receive those things that He has next for us. If He does not test us, then He will not be able to trust us with the next thing that He has for us. And we must qualify. We must pass the test to grow in God. We must pass the test to grow in God. If not, then we will be immature babies. We will cry and bellyache and complain and cause all kinds of problems. Then there will be no spiritual growth in our development. But we must qualify. We must be approved to pass the test so that we can grow in God. In spite of the demonstrations of God's provision upon, you know, others, on occasion, these people still move in unbelief. It must take a great effort of stubbornness to move against such demonstration of God. I'm just amazed at how the children of Israel, their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out. They never got sick, and they had all of the quail and manna, and they had all of this stuff. And in the light of all of that, still, when situations didn't happen in their life, they were ungrateful. They were stubborn. The Bible says that they were stubborn and they were stiff-necked. And I'm just amazed how in the face of all of God's faithfulness, they still demonstrated this ungratitude heart. God's faithfulness is seen, yet there is unbelief in them. And of course, in Hebrews, we find out that their carcasses fell in the wilderness, not because they were overcome by the enemy or you know, they were vanquished by some, you know, evil force, but their carcasses fell in the wilderness because of unbelief. Wow, unbelief. It's almost funny how in the face of God's mercy, we failed to learn the lessons from God in our life. Now, I'm not talking about the children of Israel now. I'm talking about your life and my life. It's almost funny, it's sad, how in the face of God's mercy and His grace and all of the things that He brings into our life to teach us and grow us and help us through all of these problems, yet we do not learn the lessons that God has for us. And He must bring us back around. He must bring us back to the same lesson. Of course, what we need to do is just relax, rest, and allow God to work in our life and just submit and allow Him to do the work that He desires to do in us. The children of Israel just expressed a desire for death in verse 3. Numbers 23 says this, "And the people chided with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brothers died before the Lord." And of course, this is talking about Korah and the 250 elders, and around 18,000 died, you know. And they were saying, it would have been better if we would have died with them instead of God bringing us to the wilderness of Zin here. The problem with their death wish is that they always wanted to die in another place, in another time, rather than in the here, in the now. But eventually, they wanted to keep the murmuring flesh alive as long as possible. In the wilderness of Zin, God wanted them to die so that they could move into the promised land. And that is so true in our life. For us to be able to move into those things that God has for us, our flesh has to die. Let me say that again. For us to be able to move into the things that God wants in our lives, our flesh has to die. Is today's Christians much better than the murmuring and complaining Israelites in the wilderness of Zin? Has God also called the Christians to a death to the flesh? Does not the Christians come into the situations here with where its comfortable flesh has been agitated? Does your flesh ever get agitated? If it does, it is very, very much alive. Is your flesh agitated? Sometimes I will say yes, and we're all honest. If that be so, then our flesh is much alive. God wants to kill our flesh. He does not want to keep it alive. But our flesh, it screams and it kicks. I want to live, I want to live, and I want to do what I want to do, and I want to say what I want to say, and I want to go where I want to go. But that's not what God wants. God wants to kill our flesh. But that's not up to God. That's up to us. That's up to us. Are we allowing God to work in our life and killing our flesh? What are we going to do when we make the discovery, hopefully, that our flesh is very much alive? We must come to a rededication and a reconsecration. Amen? Amen? We must come to Him for a renewal or a further cleansing and a separation. We must do that. We must come to Him for a further cleansing and a further separation. So when God begins to work in our life, and our flesh rears its ugly head and it becomes alive, you know, our response is not to let our flesh just go and just, you know, give our flesh its way or whatever. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stop right there, and we're supposed to go to the Lord and allow the Lord to cleanse us and allow the Lord to separate us. Amen? When we discover our flesh is still alive, do not continue to feed it. Do not continue to give the same wrong answers to God. Change the song. Do not sing the tune of flesh desires and life. Rather, sing of flesh is death, and place it upon the altar of God upon which the flesh is consumed. How do we feed our flesh? By feasting at the world's table. Our flesh loves it. Our flesh loves to watch TV. Our flesh loves to be involved in the high-tech social media technology. It loves to be involved in all of the distractions of life. The cooking this and the sport and all of these things of the world. Our flesh just loves and it just feeds upon all of these things. Like the American soccer and ladies soccer team and all that swirling around that. All of that is Antichrist and sport and all of these things. All of these things of the world. They're just, and our flesh just goes after that. And we love to feed on that. But that's not what God wants in our life. Rather sing that flesh song and place our flesh on the altar of God upon which the flesh is consumed. Now, Brother Paul, he had the same problem that we had. We had that same problem. If you have your Bible, just go ahead and go to Romans 7. Romans 7, 21. Amen? Romans 7, 21. Romans 7, 21. This is Brother Paul here talking. Verse 21. I find that a law that when I would do evil, evil was present with me. Wow. I find that a law that when I would do evil, when I would do good, evil is present with me. So when Paul said, I want to do good, he finds when he looks at his heart, when he sees what's going on in his heart, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul is talking about his inward man and how he delights after God strengthened him. Ephesians 3:16, Paul said, oh, to be strengthened with might in the inward man. So Paul knew that his inward man, his flesh man, had to die. But verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul knew that his flesh had to die. And he didn't want his flesh to live. He wanted his flesh to live, but the more it seemed that he tried to have his flesh put to death, the more his flesh came alive. And verse 24, a very famous verse says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Well, verse 25 is the only one that can deliver us from this body of death. We cannot put our flesh to death. We cannot do that. We do not have the ability. We do not have the power to put our flesh to death. Only, verse 25, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. It is the Lord. It is God. The Lord is the only one that can put our flesh to death. And that is done by God's dealing and judgment in our life. As we learn those lessons, as we submit to God, and as we do those things, then God is able to kill those fleshly desires in us. We can't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. We can try. I'm not going to sin. Yet we sin. I'm not going to lie. And we lie. I'm not going to do all of these things. But even Paul said that. But he says, when I'm going to say I'm not going to do all of these things, he sees within him, within his flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Only God, and only God alone, can kill our flesh by his dealings and his judgments in our life. And as he works in our life, and begins to kill our flesh, then our spirit man will come alive. And then we will be able to move in the things that God has for us in our life. Bring the flesh to the altar of dedication and consecration. Offer it. Allow God to consume it. In that way, our answer can be correct. We can pass the test. We can graduate and go on to possess that which God has for us. Unless we allow God to kill our flesh, unless we drag our flesh to the, you know, to the dedication and consecration altar, then we will not pass the test. We will not graduate. We will just keep going around and around and around again. How do we bring our flesh to the altar? By submitting to God's wills and His ways. God's will and His ways for our life. And yes, stop sinning. Now, I don't think there's anybody, the sound of my voice, who has ever sinned and they did not know it. Because if you sinned and you didn't know it, then that wouldn't be sin, because sin is to know right, to do wrong. So if we do something that is wrong and we did not know it, then God would not count that as a sin. But we sin when we know something that we should not do, and we do it. And every time we sin, or we do something we should not do, and we know it, then that is a sin. We must stop sinning. Doing those things that we know that God is not happy with. Doing those things that God does not want us to do. And that's what we give to God. That's what we place upon the altar and allow God to consume that. No flesh shall glory in God's sight. Karen, could you please read 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 1, 28 and 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, everybody else can go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 28 and 31.
And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence.
All right, read that again, sweetheart.
And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Wow. No flesh shall glory in God's sight, but he who glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God desires to kill our flesh. Flesh, our flesh will not stand in the glory of God. Some parting thoughts. Has our Marian died? Here in the wilderness of then, Marian, Moses' sister, she died. And she held animosity and all of these bad feelings toward her brother, and hopefully she kind of worked those through. But God showed her heart here, and hopefully, she made it well there. But has our Marian died? Is she still buried? Or is she up and moving around? The wilderness of Zin is the last place where we have opportunity to deal with her. This was the last opportunity for the children of Israel in the wilderness of Zin to deal with their murmuring, their complaining, and all of this stuff. Because God's intention was for them to go left into the promised land and take the promised land. This was the place, the wilderness of Zin was the place for them to deal with all of this complaining and stuff like that. But as we look at the Bible, we see that wasn't the case. So too in our life, God will bring us into the wilderness of Zin. And He will bring us in there so that we can deal, we can have that opportunity to deal with some issues in our life. It is better to stay there until we get our Marian dead and buried. Most Christians have no concept of our flesh. Let me say that again. Most Christians have no concept of our flesh, man, ruling and reigning in our heart, in our lives. It is not taught in most churches. Most churches want to go ahead and say, Jesus loves you and everything is good, and let's take three fast ones and a slow one, take up the offering, and there's no depth. There's no discussion about our flesh man ruling and reigning and how God wants to kill that. Well, that's why there's no spiritual growth and development in most churches. most churches that I go to, there's no depth, and there's no relationship, and there's no communion, and there's nothing there for the people. And that's why people aren't there. If need be, go back to the altar of consecration again and again and again, as often as we must. Let me say that again. If need be, in our lives, we need to go back to the altar of consecration again and again and again, as often as we must. There are some folks who must get saved every week or so. They seem to live a life of repeated dedication and consecration. If that is what it takes to keep us going forward, then follow that route. But please know that, you know, getting saved every week is not God's will for our lives. That's not God's will. If that's what we have to do, then go ahead and do that. But God's will for our life is to get saved once, Jesus died once for our sins, and then we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting saved every week is not God's intention. That seems to crucify Christ afresh every Sunday. But if that's the best we can do, then we need to do it. Because it is better to do that for 2 years than to return back wandering for 40 years in final death without victory. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. Instead of going left into the promised land because of their unbelief, because of them not learning the lessons in the wilderness of Zin, they went right. And they went out into the Arabian desert and, well, they wandered until they all dropped dead, except for Joshua and Caleb. Only if our Marion is dead can we move out of the wilderness of Zin into conquest and possession. The only other alternative is to die in the wilderness. We have two alternatives in our life. One is to learn the lessons that God has for us to learn, or not learn the lessons and continue doing what we want to do and then ultimately die in the wilderness. It is our choice tonight and every day of our life. Either die or die. Die to ourselves, or we will die in the wilderness. Our flesh put to death by God's dealing and judgments, or we will die, separated from God, thinking all the while we are saved and on our way to heaven. And that is presumption. It is our choice tonight, either that we die or we die. Our flesh must be put to death by God's dealing and judgments in our life. And if we can allow God to do that, if we can drag our flesh upon the altar of sacrifice and consecration, then we will learn the lessons that God wants us to learn. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and for your mercies, Father. Lord, thank you for your word tonight that you shared, Father. It's a strong word. It's a hard word, Father, Lord God. But it's a word that we all need to hear, Father, Lord God. We need to stop sinning, Father, Lord God. We need to move in you, Father. We need to allow you to work in our lives, Father, Lord. Change us, Father, Lord God. And we love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. Lord, we need that victory. Lord, we need those things that you have for us, Father. But Lord, we only know, Father, Lord, unless we learn those lessons that you have for us, Father, we'll never be able to possess those, Father, Lord God. It will just be constant learning and never learning, Father. And we just love you and we thank you, Father. Lord, bless this word to our heart. Use it tonight, Father, for your glory. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen.